Good morning. My name's Ed, if you do not know me. I apologise that we were late this morning. Barney's at the age where timing his morning nap with church and with a three-year-old can be tricky, and this morning we misjudged it, but we got here, and I'm here, and I'm going to preach the word now. The sort of theme I want to look at this morning, and it very much comes back to this saying that I have loved and want to share with you, is that the Bible brings us back to reality. And what's implied in that phrase is that we often wander astray and we may think we've got things sorted, but we are fickle human beings. We fail. We sometimes get confused by who we are, what God has done. So we have to come back to his word. The Bible brings us back to reality. It gets us back what is safe and secure and true. The Bible is truth. And one of the most important things we need to know about is the what is sin? What is this power that is waging war against us? And so there's a few passages I want us to look at today. So answering these questions, thank you, Mark, for these songs we've sung this morning, again and again, declaring that we are set free from sin. Set free from the chains of death and the power that it had over our lives. So the gospel proclaims this, but yet our lives seem to reflect something differently, that we fall into sin, we fall into slavery once again. We struggle with sin. Why is this the case? So these are the questions I want to try and answer this morning. So if you have your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 7, and we're going to look at verses 14 to 24. And Max, you can put it up there, and I'll get the clicker. Let's pray before we read this passage. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity now, and I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would speak. Lord, I pray that there be nothing that I say that would be unbiblical, Lord, that it would be wholly yours. And I pray that you might draw us close together in the knowledge of your word. Lord, give us ears to hear and hearts to receive this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So in this passage in Romans 7, Paul is writing to the Roman church, and he has got to this stage where he is reflecting that the life of a Christian is one of conflict, and we are divided between two natures. We have been given this new nature by God, by the Holy Spirit, and yet we have this sinful nature that is born from our flesh. So we start here in verse 14. He says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin." Thank you, Lord. So I understand this passage for many people is quite tricky to comprehend. There's lots of do's and wants. But there's a few things I want to point out. One of them is that a true mark of a believer is that this, by the indwelling of God, by the Holy Spirit, we no longer sin in a blind, slave-like way. When we sin, we hate it. And we have this self-awareness now that I'm doing something that doesn't honor the Lord. So we had given this conscience by the Holy Spirit that we are now separated from our sinful nature. And when sin is aroused in us, we hate it and we do not agree with it. And so this is evidence that you are a child of God. Once we groped around in darkness. It says in 1 John 2:11, whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So before we came to faith in Christ, we may well thought that we were living a pretty normal life, but spiritually we were in darkness and blind. So we're walking around, we can't see where we're going, we trip over things. But now that we've come to faith, that the Lord has given us faith, the lights have been turned on, and now we can see all this sin in our life. We can see all this, all the lusts of our flesh. We see it clearly now. The lights have been turned on. So that's one thing, is that as you are born again, you are given this self-awareness against the ugliness and depravity of the sin that dwells in you. And the way Paul describes this, he has his own sort of vernacular and language. And what he is saying is that we are no longer in the flesh, but we are still of the flesh. So before we were in the flesh, that means we were a slave to sin, but now we are only of the flesh. That means we still have these meat bodies, and in them dwells sin. So the songs we've been singing this morning, they are true. We have been set free from sin and death, but we are still carnal. We still have a body in which sin dwells. And we live in this tension between being free, but actually in our body, there being this power of sin still at work in us. And that's what Paul is talking about in Romans 7. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. And I've got a little table here. I've done something like this before, maybe about a year ago, to show you the stark contrast of what happens when we come to faith. And that this isn't exhaustive. But look for the one thing that's in common. So before, we were dead in our transgressions and sins spiritually. That's from Ephesians 2. But now we've come alive to God in Christ Jesus. We were once under God's wrath and condemnation. So we sinned against the Lord and we rightfully need punishment. But through Christ, he took that punishment for ourselves. So we're no longer under condemnation. We were once enslaved to sin. So our master used to be sin. We had to obey. And now we've been set free. The shackles have gone. We were once blind, but now we can actually see. We once had a mind that was set on the flesh, but now we have a mind that's set on the Spirit. That's what we were talking about, how we have this self-awareness of our sin. And so we were in the flesh, but now we are in the Holy Spirit. We are in the Spirit. We were once destined to eternal punishment in hell, in everlasting torment. And by God's grace, we've been promised eternal life, everlasting joy. We were once carnal, had a body of death, and we are still carnal and have a body of death. That is the strange thing you need to get your head around. And before Christ comes again, before you die, you will still be in this body of death. You will still have to war against sin. It's no longer your master, but you still have to wage war against it. Another wonderful blessing that we get from Ephesians chapter 2, and this is a mystery, is that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses," that's the top one, "made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and it's this part, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So our truest selves, who we really are, is united to Christ in heaven. We're already there. Our lives are already there. I am united to Jesus. I died with him. I was raised with him. And so I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm free. But down here, I have this body of death. I have my old self that has desires that are contrary to the Spirit of God. And you need to remember that your true life is with Christ in the heavenly places. That is who you truly are. That's why in Romans 7, let's go back a couple of slides. That last one there, verse 20. Now if I do what I do not want, he says, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So through the grace of God, by putting our faith in Christ, he has sort of dislocated sin from us. And it says that it's no longer I who do it, but that sin dwells within me. And I thought of this analogy that hopefully will help you perhaps understand it. What happens is that sin, like a captain of a ship, you know, one of those big steering wheels, imagine yourself as this ship. Sin pushes you out of the way and starts steering. It is a power, it's a force from outside of us and within us that exerts control over us, so that you are now led along. But this doesn't happen for an unbeliever. For them, sin is always steering that ship. Sin is always mastering them. But for us, we are free. But when we yield to sin, there's this power, no longer I, but sin that dwells within me, comes and takes the steering wheel and starts driving you in the direction of evil. And I think all of us are aware of this, how this works out. That temptation comes, and as soon as we yield to it, this force, this incredible power that we can't actually fight back, starts to have its way with us. So, number one, we no longer live in our flesh. We are of flesh. We have a body. We're carnal. But we are in the Holy Spirit. Our life is in the heavenly places. We're seated with Christ. So we live in this strange tension between we're free, but we also have an evil force that is against us that wants us to be enslaved again. And so if you have your Bible, we're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 4 for a really important few verses that adds on what I've been sharing with you. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 17 through to 24. And it's the last part we'll be focusing on. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futilities of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. We're called to put off our old self, that is our flesh, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires. So let's just think about that phrase there, corrupt through deceitful desires. What is corrupt? Corrupt is when something good has been distorted into something bad. It's gone wrong. And so our bodies have gone wrong through the sin of Adam, that we have been born into. We have inherited a sinful nature that is corrupt. So the desires of the human heart may seem good and beautiful, but they are distorted and they are evil. And then it says it's corrupt through deceitful desires. Sin lies to us. It deceives us. The devil is known as the deceiver, so he will propose a scenario that looks one way, but actually, in another way, it is something else. Sin always does this. It always presents something seemingly good, but actually it's bitter and it kills us. We're then told to be renewed in the spirit of our minds and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And that new self is what we've been declaring this morning, that in Christ Jesus we are free from sin. That is who we truly are. And we must not allow the devil to lie to us and make us believe that we are a slave to sin. We are free in Christ Jesus. So we need to put on the new self. And this is what really helped me understand what's going on here. We've been set free from sin and its desires, its lusts. We no longer belong to our old slave master, but it still wages war. It's a defeated enemy, defeated on the cross, but it's still fighting back regardless. We're fighting a defeated enemy, but even that defeated enemy is dangerous, is powerful. And we fall when we start to think that we can just coast along. So sin does mischief in the life of the Christian. Satan will do whatever he can to enslave you again, to get you into this slave-master dynamic that you no longer can control yourself, and brings you back into bondage. And so we all struggle with this. Like Paul, we say the same thing. We do not do what we want, but we do the things we hate. The evil I do not want, I keep on doing. And I, like Paul, am a wretched man like him. So why do we keep falling into sin? There's a lot of things I could say there. But the one I want to draw your attention to this morning is about the hardening of our hearts by this deceitfulness of sin. We get this from Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. It says, "But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." And that language, the deceitfulness of sin, comes straight from Genesis. "The serpent deceived me and I ate." That's Eve talking. So what is this hardening that happens by the deceitfulness of sin? What is hardening? Well, back in that Ephesians passage in verse 18 or so, let's go back there. Paul talks about the old manner of life, or the way of the Gentiles. Their minds are futile, they're darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. Hardness of heart is the condition of unbelief, a hard heart. A hard heart is one that's impenetrable. A hard heart is cold. And the biblical idea is like soil. And soil that is frozen and cold and hard is hard to dig and to plant seeds in. Nothing will grow in a hard, cold ground. And so by God's grace, by the Holy Spirit, we've come to faith because God has sort of thawed our heart and he's broken it up and his word has been planted and it's grown and we have come to faith. So every time we sin, we start to track back into getting a heart that is chokes out the word, chokes out life. So every time we sin, we harden our heart. And the other effect that produces is that it makes us ignorant, it makes us blind, That same sin that once devastated us, that we hated, we now are numb to. That one sin that we used to clearly see, we get convinced that the consequences aren't that bad. You know, I can get away with it. They're not hurting anyone. These are the lies that sin produces in us. And this is the really important thing to get across. This is why I titled the sermon "The Deceitful Desires of the Flesh." Is that we have a new self in Christ and an old self, and the old self has all these lusts and desires that are uncontrollable, and we need to learn as Christians what in me comes from that part of myself and what in me comes from the Holy Spirit. And we need to have, it says, renew the spirit of your mind to be able to distinguish between those two forces in you. For me, a particular sin that I struggle with sometimes is that I think if I have more food or more of this thing, the temptation is this will make me feel better or something. And then afterwards, I think, why did I do that? This has made me feel worse. And so it's a deceitful desire. It was telling me, if you do this, if you eat this, if you consume more and more and more and more, you'll feel better. And then afterwards, I'm like, I'm such a fool. Why did I fall for that inward motivation again? And that comes from the old self, the old manner of life. That old manner of life has been put to death, and yet it still arises passions in me. So we need to identify what are these deceitful desires and put them to death. In Galatians 5, verse 16, it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. And these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do." So we are at war against sin. So if there is a hardening of the heart that happens, we need the opposite. We need now a soft heart. We need a pure heart. It says, Blessed is the man who's pure in heart, for he shall see God. There is a vision, a clarity that comes when we have a soft heart. So how do we get a soft heart? When your eyes are continually fixed on the Lord, they won't quickly shift away from any fleeting pleasure of sin. You've got to have your vision fixed on the glory of God and his love for you and all that he's done, that he set you free, and that he's wonderful. He created everything you see, the beauty of the trees and the sky, that he knows you by name, that he has given you inheritance in heaven of everlasting joy. You've got to fix your mind on that, and then when sin comes and offers you something, you say, nah, I'm going for that. I'm going for what the Lord has for me. So you need a greater love that will suffocate anything in your flesh that is trying to draw you away. We are carnal. We have a body of death. And we also have a carnal mind. And so the more and more that we seek the Lord, we read his word, we pray, we put these things to death, then our minds start to become the minds of Christ. It says, have the mind of Christ. So we start to think differently. We start to become mature. We start to conquer and be victorious over things that used to trip us up. And then the other thing is, particularly when temptation comes, you will have victory when you reject these deceitful desires straight away and flee from them. If you delay, if you play with sin, if you let it in, it's too powerful for you then to fight back. The battle is won at the outset. The battle is won at the point where you have power to overcome. You know, sin is like a crouching lion ready to devour you. And once it's got its teeth in you, you can't get yourself free. As the snake rears its head, we have to cut it off before it gets us. That's why Jesus talks about if your eye causes you to lust, cut it off. If there's anything in your life that is bringing you into this state where you yield to these desires, cut it off before it starts to have its way with you. And what I struggle with in that moment is I start to think, it's just inevitable. This is my weakness. This is my besetting sin. I always stumble on this. It's inevitable. And again, that's something from the devil, so just trying to limit my faith in God that I can actually prevail now. I can win. I can be victorious. So never think that it's inevitable. You have a power in you. You have the sword of the Spirit to slay any enemy, any temptation that comes your way. But it will be far harder to fight back once you've let it in. The battle is won at the outset. And this is a discipline that we must ask the Lord to help us mature in. And it's actually His business in our lives to sanctify us. You know, we are in partnership with the Lord, but it's by the Holy Spirit that He produces steadfastness, victory over sin. As John MacArthur puts it, it's more about your direction than perfection. It's more about that you're heading in the right direction and forget about flawlessness, because you will always be let down. Why would Paul write in Romans 7, I keep on doing the evil I don't want to do? But it's about that direction, that we are walking in step with the Spirit. That's another way Paul puts it. So I hope, as we go from this place today, that we will heed what Jesus said to that woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more, and that we might be victorious over these deceitful desires that arise in our flesh, that we will see them clearly and cut them off before they start to have their way, and that we must remember that we are free in Christ. Our life is hid with Him in the heavenly places. We are seated with Him, and when my old self tries to have its way, I mustn't listen to its lies. I mustn't listen to the lies of the devil. I must hold on and look to Christ and worship Him and ask Him to help us to fight. But it is a fight. You need to every day remember that I have these desires within me that I must wage war against. We must not make peace with them. And John Owen, who writes a lot about this subject, I'll just quote what he says here. It says, let not that man think he makes any progress in holiness who walks not over the bellies of his lusts. He who does not kill sin in his way takes no steps towards his end. He who finds not opposition from it and who sets not himself in every particular to its mortification, so killing it, he will be at peace with it, not dying to it. So too often we're at peace with our sin. We're happy in our sin. And that is not the way of Christ. That's not the way you learn Christ. Hate your sin. And put on the new self, which is made in the likeness of God. God has that soft heart. God has that nature that hates sin. And so we need to put that on and put these things to death. We're going to sing Victory in Jesus, aren't we, Mark? Is that after next? Yeah, that's good. So let's pray, and then we're going to sing Victory in Jesus as we close this morning. I want to pray, Lord, for everyone gathered here this morning. And we just give our utmost thanks, Lord, that we have every means to fight sin in our lives. We thank You, Jesus, that we have been set free. We are no longer slaves, that sin will no longer have dominion over us. And so help us to keep in step with that, Lord, that we have died to sin and been made alive to God in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray for everyone here, for those particular besetting sins, those weaknesses, those lusts that come, that we would learn to kill those desires. Lord, whatever it takes, Father, to cut off those influences, those thoughts, those environments, Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would fill us now afresh, that we'd be more effective in your hands, that you would make us holy as you are holy. We can't do it in our own strength. Help us to renew our minds in your word this week. Help us to fix our gaze on you. I ask these things in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing together.